Man, I just love singing to the Rock Saturday night. Yeah? Yeah! That's the beautiful thing about the Rock. There's always something great to sing about. Always, always, always. Nothing better to sing about in the world than God. You know, last week I started a series entitled Making Life Work. And there's probably not one person in this auditorium tonight who looks at their life and thinks to themselves, wow, Chad, could you do me a favor? Could we turn this off right here? Thanks. Do I just flip a switch? All right. That's really cool. Thanks, Chad. If everything could be so simple as an on-off switch. There's not a person here tonight who looks at their life and thinks, boy, I hope my life doesn't work. I'm pretty sure I'd be willing to bet money on that tonight. That every person here has a desire inside, says, I want my life to work. You have dreams, you have ideas. So last week, we started off with one simple principle, and that is if you want to make your life work, you got to get all the advice you can. Because there's people in life who have experiences, they have insights, they have talents, they have abilities, maybe they have a perspective on life that you don't have, and there's no sense you hitting your head against the wall if you don't have to. If you can find out beforehand what a solution might be to a potential problem. And that's the beauty of having friends, not only friends, but having wise people around you, is you can look in the future. Often wise advice can give you a look at the future before the future ever happens. But as much as I'd be willing to bet that every person in here wants life to work, I'm also willing to bet more money that every person in here would not consider their life to have been meaningful in the way they desire if they cannot make love work. If we had to go through our whole life, and in a sense we could succeed at everything else, but fail at love, then most people would tell you, my life was not the success that I wanted it to be. It's interesting. I was reading an article in the paper this weekend about these CEOs that have affairs. Jack Welch, Dennis Kozlowski's. And all these other guys that for whatever reason have this incredible successful company but are unwilling to make their marriage work. And so they go off looking for somebody younger, somebody cuter, somebody better. But you know what's interesting? You can look at the music world and you can look at the power halls of corporate America and you can look at often at politicians and you can look at movie stars And you know what you find? You find that just about everybody's failing in love. They're an abysmal failure. And I want to share with you tonight why. I also want to share with you tonight how, and I mean this for certain, that you can succeed in love. That you can make love work for you. As a society, there's a few things we have to understand in order to understand why love isn't working. And as a society, we are obsessed. I think it would be honest to say we are obsessed. Just about any television program you could turn on any given night and regularly on the radio station in our music, we are obsessed with making love. That is, in our music and in our movies, we are obsessed with the physical act of sex. And we have termed it making love. And we've said that term over and over and over and over again until we've really convinced ourselves that making love is love. The problem is that no matter how, and I know many people who've made love many times outside of marriage and inside of marriage that would honestly tell you, I feel empty and I feel hollow inside and I feel lonely. Why is it that I don't feel connected? Why is it that I don't feel love? John Mayer has a new song out. You may have heard it. It's entitled Wonderland, in which he sings all about, frankly, we're really frank, the glories of the female anatomy. Now, he puts it in like poets do and singers do. They never get direct. They always talk around the subject, but you know exactly what they mean. Your body's a wonderland, and we're going to swim in a deep sea of blankets, and you know, I'm never going to let your head hit the pillow without my hand behind it. And if we need love, we'll make it. Which is, of course, a not so vague reference to whenever you want to feel like you're in love, I'll just have sex with you. Which, of course, is the classic male interpretation of love. Now, there's nothing at all wrong with singing the praises of the physical act of sex and romance. God made them both. The problem is that we have a gross misconception of meaningful, enduring love. And that misconception is this. We believe that having sex creates love. And it doesn't. That's why we call it making love. We've referred to it so many times. We just need love. We'll make it. The problem is, it doesn't make love. Sex does not generate love. Sex generates at least one orgasm. Maybe you hope for two. Sometimes it generates a baby. Sometimes none. But sex does not generate love. And, you know, you may think, geez, Mark, that's pretty direct. You know my favorite commercials on TV? Can I be honest with you? My favorite commercials on TV are the truth advertisements of young people unveiling the lie of the tobacco industry. I love them. That's me. I wish I could get on TV and give this message right now. I wish I could give the statistics of the gross misinformation about love. And see, I deal with this all the time because I'm part of what I do for a living is counsel and advise people. Now, I've been doing it now full-time for 16 and a half years. I've been doing it full-time and part-time for 27 years. Whether it was with friends that I'm trying to help or with young people or people my age who are struggling. The problem is not that we don't have a genuine desire to want to love and be in a loving relationship. The problem is we have a tremendous misconception of what it is. And because of that, we've not been able to make love work because we don't know what real love is. And instead, we have embraced a false love. Now, you'll understand this the more I go on. Real love, real love. Now, I'm going to give you the definition today more than once from a few different angles of real love. Real love is the enduring commitment to give selflessly to the one I have chosen to love. Real love is an enduring commitment, a lifelong commitment to give myself selflessly for another individual. Whatever that individual might need from me. Love devotes itself to the good of another. It is devoted and it is loyal to that individual. Of course, tonight I'm speaking especially of male-female relationship leading to marriage and then the marital relationship itself, which is what everyone in this room longs for, not the boring institution of marriage, but the enduring commitment and the great freedom and security that love, real love, brings to a person's life. But you can apply these principles to friendship. The problem that we have in a society is that we don't realize what we're getting into when we fall in love. Anyone can fall in love. It's staying in love. That's the problem. And again, where this goes back is to a preconditioned misconception. And we enter into love and marriage with the wrong expectations. You know what we enter into love and marriage with? To be really honest, and many of us don't say this, but it's when we get into the intensity of a relationship that this bubbles to the surface. It's, well, what are you doing for me? What am I getting out of this? How does this make me feel? I'm not feeling very good in this relationship right now. You're not as affectionate as you once were. You're not as tender as you once were. You're not as kind as you once were. You don't seem to go out of your way like you once did. And inevitably, and I mean this, inevitably almost all the counsel that I've dealt with in the 16 years as my profession has always related to somebody in a marriage not doing for me what I thought they were supposed to be doing. Or it may not even be in the marriage, it's in the relationship. Someone's either dating or they're engaged. It's like, man, we hit the rocks and I just don't understand it. This just does not feel good.
You see, we're all ready to get, but we're not ready to give. We are all ready to get, but we're not prepared to give selflessly, endlessly, day after day for the rest of our life. Love between a man and a woman is a lifelong journey of commitment, growth, giving, sacrifice that grows richer and deeper with the passing of time. Now listen to this very carefully, because this is profound but very, very true. And we miss this. I miss this as a young man. Love was meant primarily as a gift to give away to others, not a gift to receive from others. And I'm going to go into this, the Bible's definition. Now again, I'm juxtaposing the world's definition with God's definition. And God's definition of love is that it was primarily meant as a gift to give to others, not as a gift that you wait to receive from others. And therein lies the problem. We're always waiting around for what others are going to do for me. For what my lover, the person I say I love, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? I remember as a young man, 23, I was newly married, and I used to come home for, this is no lie. Now, I'm not saying you're all like this. I'm probably the most selfish individual that ever lived, so I'm sure you can't relate to some of my stories, but I'm going to try. I used to, on my way home from work, I would visualize, I'm a very visual person, I would visualize, project what it was going to be like when I got home. I'm going to walk in the door, and Kathy's going to meet me there at the door with a kiss and a hug, and then she's going to sit down on the couch beside me and stroke the back of my hair and ask me how my day was. And I'm going to tell her, and then she's going to seduce me, and we're going to have passionate sex there on the couch. And then we'll have supper and have a nice, enjoyable evening. I projected that every day, day after day after day after day after day, and it never happened. So then I thought, okay, I'll forget the sex part. Just do what girls are supposed to do. You know, you curl up on the couch with your legs up under your butt, and you just stroke the back of my head and say, how was your day, sweetheart? And you're affirming and nurturing and all that stuff. Water my plant, in other words. You know, I'm talking about my emotional plant. That's what I'm talking about, okay? And so, finally, I exploded. Yeah, I just exploded on Kathy. Like, what the heck are you doing? I mean, my mother was better than this, Kathy. You know, I would come home from school, and my mom, who's a very affectionate, touchy-feely person, she'd say, sweetheart, how was your day? She'd sit down on the table. She'd stroke the back of my head or scratch my back when I laid down on the couch, bring me some cookies and milk. And it's like, God, I just don't understand this. Little did I realize that the biggest lesson of my life, God was beginning to baptize me into, and that is, Mark, you have no idea what real love is, and I'm going to teach you. I'm going to instruct you. I've got you where I want you. You are now in a marriage, and you know, Mark, good Christian, you can't get out of it. You're stuck, Mark. You're stuck with this girl, okay? Now I'm going to strip away all the pride and all the selfishness and all the selfness in you, Mark, and I'm going to make you like me. And I've been praying that for 5 years. God, make me like you. Make me like you. Lord, oh, I want to be like you. Lord, I didn't mean it quite like this. Love, you see, real love does not ask what's in it for me. Real love sacrifices itself for the good of the one loved. The Bible defines love for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave the most precious thing to him. Now, when I'm speaking of love tonight, I'm not talking about, you know, a guy can give you a Rolls Royce, a guy can give you a fancy ring, but to give of himself daily for what's in your best interest, that's a whole nother matter. A lot of guys are real anxious to give themselves to you sexually for your pleasure.
you're going to discover that as you're married and as time goes on and maybe there are children, your wife sometimes, oftentimes, not too excited about that aspect of your giving and your rich generosity. She would prefer that maybe you'd do the grocery shopping and you'd get up with the baby a couple times a night and you'd bring the baby to her when she needs the baby and, oh, you'd get the laundry done. And, oh, could you see to it that the house is vacuumed too? The Bible tells us in John, no greater love has a man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. What do we mean by lay down our life? We mean I set aside my priorities and I find out what are your needs? What are your needs? Not what do I want? What are your needs? How can I meet your needs? Love does not come to the table with its own agenda, but its agenda is written by the need of the one needing love. 1 John 3:16 says, we know real love. We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us, and we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters, which would include your wife because you're to marry another person of faith. I'll never forget the first time I read Ephesians, the instruction to husbands and wives, and husbands all like to camp on, wives, submit to your husband. Oh, there it is, Kathy. You know, Kathy, all the problems will be solved. You just do this right here. See, it's what the Bible says. You just do it. And then I began to read the rest. And husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then he says he who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own body but nurtures it and cares for it. And many times I've reflected, man, I'm being real honest, if I had treated my own body the way I've treated my wife, I'd be limping permanently. You see, real love is measured by what I give up for the good of another individual. That and that alone is the definition of love. Love is giving. Love is laying down its life. Love seeks the good of the other. Love devotes itself. Love is caring in action. That's love. So some nights my wife, that her need may be physical in nature, so I care for that need. Other times her need may be emotional in nature, and I care for that need. And then as I've grown, I'm always trying to look ahead a little bit and ask, how can I stay a couple steps ahead? What do I perceive the needs to be? The need for tenderness, the need for understanding, the need for patience, the need for a listening ear, the need for a servant. The Bible says if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must be the servant of all. I'll never forget again as a young father. I did not grow up with a father who did much around the house. I mean, you know, again, remember that I'm a baby boomer and my father was of the senior generation. So my father was a man's man. He fought in Korea. He was a boxer. He knocked people out. He mowed the lawn. He tore the car apart. I helped him dig a well in the backyard. But my dad did not do dishes. He did not vacuum. And he did not change dirty diapers. And then I got married. And of course, I've been reading my Bible. And I've been asking God to work in my life. And I'll never forget, God began to reveal to me, Mark, why would I ever allow you to serve in my church? Because, you know, I wanted to be a pastor as a young man. If you won't serve in the little things at home. Do you remember, Mark, that it was me who washed the feet of my own disciples? Me, Mark, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords you sing about, the God who made everything, Mark. I came down and I served everyone. You know, I think it's too much for you, Mark, to take the garbage out. You think it's too much for you, Mark? You know, that you're too important to help give the children a bath? You think, Mark, you're too important to clip the kids' fingernails when they need. You think you're too important, Mark, to change a diaper and feed them their little meals when I was able to, and et cetera, et cetera. You see, and then God began to expand even more to help me understand that love is caring for another person, not sitting around thinking about what have you done for me lately? How am I being cared for? It's how can I care for others? Now, here's the mystery. Now, listen very carefully to this.
Not only is love primarily a gift that gives to others, but when you give that love to others, guess what? It is fulfilling in return. Now, you may not always feel at the moment, oh, wow, oh, that was wonderful. Today, yesterday, I left to drop my daughter off at work. So I got up at 5 and took Jessica to school and then drove 200 miles to Wisconsin to prepare and share at a conference there for a little church in Eau Claire. And they were meeting up near Westboro, above Abbotsford, near Wausau. And so I spent the day preparing and praying and then getting ready also for tonight's message. And then I finished at noon today and I drove 200 miles home. And as soon as I got home, I put in a couple loads of laundry, and then I went out and returned 10 emails, and then I did another thing for my spouse, and then another thing. Then I listened to her concerns, a couple of things that had come up while I was gone, and I frankly wasn't in the mood, and frankly I was thinking to myself, didn't anybody care about me? And you realize what I just did, and tomorrow morning I have to get up at 5 a.m. to fly to Michigan to do another conference. I get back Tuesday, get off the plane hopefully at 6:11 to be to Axis by 7:30, and hopefully by Wednesday morning I can take a deep breath. But at the same time, there was a genuine joy and satisfaction in knowing, you know what, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to say I love you to my family with my life. Words are easy. Now, words are nice. But when they're not backed up with a life, they become hollow and empty and they actually hurt. And that's the mystery, you see, of God's love. There are two essential ingredients for you to make love work. All right, I'm going to give them to you tonight. The rest was all lay a foundation, but there are two very, very significant important things. Number one is this. You cannot forget this. I've not said it yet. Love comes from God. Love cannot work without God. The Bible tells us in 1 John that God is love. Whoever is born of God loves. Whoever is not born of God does not love. You see, it is impossible to have real, the kind of love I'm talking about tonight, without God, i.e. Jesus Christ, in your life. It is an impossibility. You know what it's like? It's like a washing machine that you expect to do your clothes, never plugging into an outlet for power. It takes incredible power. And this is why Julia Roberts has failed. This is why I'm going to read you an article in just a moment, show you an article about sweet little Ben and Jennifer. They will fail, as they have already failed, each of them about 3 times already. It's not because they're not nice people and they don't want it to work. It's because they're going about it all wrong, number one. And number two, they do not have the power of Christ in their life. You cannot generate or manufacture the kind of love I'm talking about tonight. Humans do not possess it. It comes from God. And when you're born of God, then you're capable of this kind of love. You see, without a vibrant connection with Christ, there is no love. Now, even a Christian, someone who has come to know Christ, cannot walk in that love by turning their back on God and not staying spiritually connected with God. And then they become selfish, just as if they had not known Christ. Now, this is very important, and this will save you a world of pain. Be extremely careful who you decide to love. This is how you make love work. Be extremely careful who you decide to love. If you and the person you are attracted to have not built your life and the love that you hope to develop on the right spiritual foundation, it will not work. Without spiritual foundation of Christ, your love will crumble. So here's the secret. Before you ever fall in love with someone, you ask yourself 2 questions. Is that guy or that girl spiritually connected to Jesus Christ? And number 2, are they following him? Are they spiritually connected to Christ? Is Christ first in their life? And do they want to walk and please him? If they do not, do yourself a really big favor. Get out of it or never get in it. Because I guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God and on my life's experience, what I have observed in the arena of life, it won't work. And whatever happens, when you're in a relationship with a person who is not submitting to God, they make up the rules as they go along. It would be, imagine for a moment, the twins are playing baseball right now or soon, and we hope they win. But all of a sudden, a couple of the guys in Los Angeles Angels decide to change the rules. And when our guy is headed for home, they run and tackle him and knock him to the ground. And the bench is empty out, and the ref runs out, and the manager says, oh, it's okay, Bug Selig up there gave me permission to change the rules just before we started so we could tackle the players tonight if we wanted to, keep them from getting home. Or have you ever watched football? I'm watching football sometimes, and I see these guys. They're like these 160-pound D-backs, and they're trying to tackle a 200. Now there's a guy now playing 290-pound quarterback. And Mr. Culpepper is about 260. Imagine a running back like Icky Woods used to be. Or I don't keep up on all the players today because some of them aren't really big, but those really massive ones. Matt, you know, if I'm a 160-pound guy, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just trying to trip the guy. just trip him. Take my leg, but not my shoulder. Well, the problem with that is a great strategy. It's just the tripping is illegal. And you see, if all of a sudden you change the game, in the middle of the game, you don't have a game. You see, the game is no fun anymore because we're not playing by the rules. And you got a person, male or female, who is not first loving God, and we love God by obeying God, then they are completely incapable of giving you over a lifetime the love that you really long for in your heart. That's the first ingredient, okay? You've got to remember love comes from God, and you've got to have a connection with Jesus Christ. Loving another person, you see, is a spiritual endeavor that shows itself through physical acts of service and kindness. Tell you the secret to my wife's love for me. It's how incredibly lovable and extraordinary man I really am. I mean, that's the secret. I mean, Kathy wakes up every day, it's so easy to love me. Just ask my children who've lived with me all their life. Well, let me put it another way. I am not a very easy guy to love. There's one thing that my wife has done for 26 years that I've known her. We've been married 23 of those years. Every single day, every day, even when we had little children, she would do it late at night when she was nursing the children. She starts her day with her open Bible and a journal. And every day she reads and submits to the instructions of God because she loves God. I'll tell you a secret about my wife. I'll tell you a little secret about marriage. Marriage is a threesome. It always will be and always was intended to be. God, you, and your spouse. And unless your spouse loves God more than you, you're headed for trouble. Because they're going to start to put expectations on you to meet their needs that you can never possibly meet. And they will, and I'll get to this in a moment, they'll suck the life out of you. And so you see, Kathy's every day looked to God to meet those needs, and then she's asked God, help me love my husband. And she's kept herself encouraged. Had Kathy not kept herself encouraged, I can tell you this, I wouldn't have done a real good job of keeping her encouraged every day for the last 23 years. There are some days I'm okay keeping her encouraged. There are many days I'm not. And that's been the secret of the longevity and the health of our marriage. And the same is true for me. I pray for my wife every day. I pray that God would help me be a better husband. I pray that God would help me to be a more loving father, a more loving man, a more loving husband. Some days I fall flat on my face. I get up. Lord, help me be the man that you want me to be. If I did not know God was in my life helping me, I'd just be really honest, I would have already walked away. Or I would have checked out emotionally, see. If the person you're interested in is not a genuinely Christ-centered person, then you're going to have real problems. Please trust me on this. Please. Please trust me on this. Number two, and this is the last, always remember, love focuses its attention on serving and giving to the one it loves. It does not focus its attention on what it is receiving from the one it loves. The greatest achievement in life is to become a great love giver, not a great lover. That's what Barry White sings about. That's what a lot of our music's about. You know, let me be a great lover. I'll do to your body whatever your body wants. And what about my soul? And what about my emotions? And what about when I'm not so lovable and when I'm not so lovely and when I don't want to sleep with you? Then are you going to love me? Then are you going to be tender with me? Then are you going to stand by me, stick with me? Because that's what all of us really want in our heart. The greatest achievement in life is not to be a great lover, as in a sexual partner, but to become a great love giver. And I promise you this, trust me, you become a great love giver and you have no problem being a great sexual partner. Because it's all about giving. And some days you're going to feel like it and some days you're not. But it's about putting that other person first. And inevitably, as Jesus said, you are more blessed to give than to receive. And it is in the giving that you actually receive. I'll give you a little example. You may or may not agree with this, but I hope you'd at least listen enough to follow my point. I believe that Nancy Reagan's love and devotion to her Alzheimer-afflicted husband is one of the greatest and most meaningful demonstrations of love we have today. But you know what we hear about? We hear about Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez's sizzling passion and momentary burst of romance, but it is not a demonstration of love. I thought this article was kind of interesting. Ben and J-Lo holding hands and our attention. Gives their ages. It gives what they each gave to each other. She bought him a $150,000 Aston Martin. He bought her a $225,000 Ferrari Spider. You know it's love when that happens. That's all I want to... I guess that's enough said. Former loves. For Ben, Gwyneth Paltrow, Pamela Anderson. There's a contrast. Courtney Love, there's another contrast. Shoshana Lowenstein and Famke Janssen. And then we have Jennifer, ex-husband Ajinai Noah. Still manages her restaurant, though. Sean Combs, ex-husband Chris Judd, who she divorced. And now it's Ben. I guess we'll see what happens, won't we? I already know what's going to happen. I don't have to wait to see what's going to happen. In just a few years, might be a few months, it'll be another Tom and Nicole. Why? Because I think they're bad people? No. Because love does not work without Christ-centeredness. It doesn't work. It self-destructs. It completely self-destructs. Not too long ago, I was reading the story of a man, a professor. He's about 70 years old. His wife and he had been married almost 50 years. One day they were in the airport, and he was helping his wife walk. You see, she has Alzheimer's. It's not severe yet, but it's pretty bad. So they were sitting together, and he's relating a situation that happened in the airport. She's telling him something, and then she repeats it again, and then she repeats it again. And then he gets up to walk her around, and a very professional, attractive woman across from them is reading a book, and she mutters under her breath, "Well, I wish I had someone to love me like that." He thought she was talking. He said, "Excuse me?" She said, "I just said, I wish I would give anything to have someone love me like that." Why? See, that never makes the papers, but because that's what real love is. See, ladies, I just promise you this. As God is my witness, your beauty is going to fade. Your beauty is going to fade like every other woman's beauty has faded. Now, you may put Botox in your face, and you may do other things to other parts of your body that I won't get into. I'll tell you one thing that really I was proud of is Jamie Lee Curtis. Did you recently see her modeling deal? She took it all off, no lights, no fake photography, no airbrushed in. That's going to happen to all of you. That's what's going to happen to all of you. And it's already starting to happen to me. So your youth is going to go and your looks are going to go. And so then what are you going to do if you've not got God at the center and a husband who values something more than the exterior? He may start looking other places and you become quite insecure and quite worried. And then your life becomes a country western song.
Just a few more thoughts. We're done, okay? Hang with me. Love accepts. Now, listen very carefully to this. Love accepts. When I met Kathy, this is honest God truth, within 2 weeks. Now, I'm not saying everybody should be like this, but I'm just telling you, I understood the basic concepts of love. I didn't understand all that God wanted to do in me. Love accepts the responsibility for the good of another person for the rest of their life. I did not propose to Kathy until I was ready. And I was ready in 2 weeks. And I asked her if she'd pray about marrying me. And 8 months later, we got engaged. And my commitment to Kathy is I accept full and total responsibility to take care of you for the rest of your life. So I have a life insurance policy in the event of my untimely death, so that if she wanted to, she could put it in some kind of account and live off the interest and have enough to finish what we started. That's why with her limited mobility, with her back, I do much of the things that normally she used to do. I said the same commitment, you see, to my wife that I had to my children. I love them. Through thick and thin, no matter what happens, I'm your dad, and you can count on me. If there's anything I can ever do for you, I will do it. I will move hell and high water to try to get it done. When two people are focused on giving to the other person, looking out for the other's interest, and encouraging the other, then both of them flourish and grow. See, if I'm doing that to her and she's doing that to me, wow, we both end up watering each other and we grow. But when two people are focused on what they're receiving from the other person, constantly measuring and evaluating the benefit they are receiving from the other person, their relationship will wither and die, and they'll be left empty-handed, disappointed, and hurt. The question you need to ask yourself today is, are you really ready for mature love? Are you spiritually connected and growing with Christ? My loving advice to you is, if you're not, stay away from a relationship because it won't work. Now, if I can give any of you any advice you'd like to talk about this more, feel free to call Greg or I. I mean that because we'd love to help you. Next week, we're going to talk about making spirituality work. Obviously, there's no way to make life work if you can't make spirituality work. And so we'll get into that next week. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight that you are the source of real love and that you offer it to any person for free. The greatest gift in all the world, and it's the gift that keeps giving and giving and giving, is you. And you offer yourself to all men, all women, freely. I want to ask you tonight, Lord, I realize that every person in this room tonight has dreams. It may be for tomorrow, it may be this year, it may be for 10 years from now, to really be in love, to be loved, to be cherished, to be cared for, to matter to another person, and to have the quiet, assured confidence that that person is going to stand by me through thick and thin, my good days, my bad days, when I'm sick, when I'm well, when I'm passionate, when I'm not, when I'm boring, when I'm exciting, when I'm thin, when I'm fat, when I'm good, when I'm bad. But we admit to you, Lord, that it's very common for many of us to be afraid. It just doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't happen. And seldom, Lord, does it happen today, but it can happen with you, and it's what you intended. And I want to ask you to give every person in this auditorium your best. I pray you'd give them the grace and courage to wait for your best. In Jesus' name, amen.